This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? Hello, Mr. Naster. How are you doing?
I'm tired, but I'm good.
Yeah? Yeah. Hey, thanks again for your understanding last week and for being flexible.
Totally, man.
You know what's interesting is I actually have the exact same problem today because Lucha is still here putting our floors in. There's all kinds of banging. And you know how I used to record from my closet when we did some early episodes of The Showrunner, but we couldn't we couldn't get a great connection?
Yeah.
Well, I was scrambling about 5 minutes ago to try and figure something out, and I came into my closet, and I am currently, I have my connection tethered to my phone, and it's given me like a 90% connection strength. So,
that's awesome.
Like my computer to my phone, I'd never thought about doing that before, but I think it may be the solution that, you know, if things are going crazy, slip in here to the recording studio, aka closet, and not have Skype fall out on us. I guess I shouldn't jinx it. We'll see how the next half hour goes, but anyway.
Yeah, and so what are you recording through?
I just got my H6 as the audio interface through the computer, and so I'm just holding it in my hand like a microphone.
Cool.
Yeah, and just talking into it. I always get the best audio from in here. So
it's, yeah, because I know that what's his Sean Jackson, when I recorded with him and his co-host, he was at like a library during that time, and then he couldn't get a good connection. He just tethered it to his phone and it worked perfectly.
Yeah, I don't know why I'd never thought about doing that before, but
yeah, I just thought that there's such a good chance of it dropping out, but it didn't for us. So.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I've got a little program that shows me the strength of the signal, and it showed is almost 100%. So.
Wow, that's awesome.
Here we go. We're trusting it.
Putting our trust in technology. Oh, geez.
Yeah, we are. Hey, by the way, awesome show art for Hack the Entrepreneur.
Oh, thanks, man. That's not me. That's Raphael.
I like it.
So good, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. How'd you end up making the decision whether, because I know you posted about it in the Showrunner podcasting course, and one of the big questions was, should you put your face on it or not? How'd you end up making that determination?
I really wanted my face on it, was kind of the thing. So I felt like after a year, I think that it should. All the top shows, like in my market anyways, all have a face on it.
Yeah.
So I went with it.
Yeah, well, I like it. It's a good decision.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah, I asked a lot of people, like I got some really, really great feedback. Most of it was just that one, and John Naster need to be a bit bigger, and the need to be a bit bigger, but he fixed those, and yeah, it was great.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, are you ready to discuss building your email list?
Am I ready to discuss building an email list? I believe so.
Because I've been recording this, so we can just use this as the intro if you want to.
Nice. So last week you did...
We reran episode 10, which was basically the intro to why you need an email list. And now our goal with this episode is to kind of go to the next step and kind of talk about next level list building. So, you know, you've set it up, you know that you need an email list. Now, how do you actually build it and grow it so that you have a bigger list while at the same time being an engaged list that you can do something with?
Awesome. Okay, you can lead this one.
Should we do it?
Yeah, do it, man.
Hey, you know, the one problem with just recording right off the bat is I never introduced us and said what episode this is. So we're doing it in reverse today. I'm Jared Morris. This is episode number 34 of the Showrunner podcast. And you are Johnny Naster. We didn't have the pleasure of having you on the intro last week, but you're here this week. And we're very happy that you are.
Oh, thank you. I'm all back.
Right. You're back. Better than ever?
Better than ever.
Hey, by the way, next week we all want an update on your book, so that'll be the casual opening for next week. Update
sounds good.
On the book.
Sounds good. All right.
That's called a forward tease. All right, everybody.
It's called forward pressure for me.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do, apply some public pressure. So if you were at all in a moment of trepidation or procrastination, maybe it'll push you forward. I doubt it, though. You're good about
that. Like many moments all combined into this one just like overarching thing weighing me down.
Yes. Yes, yes. All right, let's talk about list building on the Showrunner next. All right, Johnny. So, again, last week we laid the groundwork for this episode. We reran episode 10. We talked about the basics of why you need to build an email list. Let's go in depth now, and let's talk about how you really start growing your email list, and not just growing it in numbers, but growing it in engaged audience members, you know, who are going to accept your calls to action, take action on them, end up sharing your list with other people so that your list becomes this almost self-growing thing that's out there growing your podcast audience and hopefully eventually growing your business as well. And when I was trying to think of the best way to start this, I actually think it almost requires a step back when it comes to building your email list, because, and we've talked about this a lot on the show with your podcast audience, you know, subscribers, same thing with your list, is that you can spend so much time focusing on the next subscriber that you forget about the ones that are already there. And that's why I really think, to me, the first thing people need to think about when it comes to building their list is ensuring that you're actually giving your subscribers what they came for at a minimum. Now, obviously, what you really want to do, the ideal, is to over-deliver. You know, you make certain promises for why people subscribe. You want to over-deliver on those, surprise people pleasantly, as opposed to surprising people negatively because you don't deliver on those, because there's no sense in building your list if you're just going to churn people off of it. And if people are just going to be disappointed because you're not even doing what you say you're going to do. And I think something else that goes along with that, that I've seen a lot of success with personally, is really going out of your way to show appreciation for your long-term subscribers, you know, the people who were there with you at the beginning. Because again, sometimes it can be natural and easy to take those people for granted a little bit because they've been around for so long, but I think it helps keep them locked in and engaged. And those are the folks that are probably going to be most likely to share your stuff. They probably have the best understanding of your stuff. And I think it also shows goodwill to your new subscribers that you appreciate the people who sign up. You appreciate the people who subscribe. You go out of your way to give them value, to show them appreciation. And that just helps kind of this cycle that we want to go on, where you're making a compelling promise to get people to subscribe. You're delivering on it. Hopefully you're over-delivering on it. That gets more people to subscribe, and it gets the people already subscribing, sharing, and helping you grow your list as you go. So that's kind of my opening statement on this topic, kind of a general mindset type thing. I've got a lot of tactics to share as we move forward, but any big picture thoughts that you have to start out this topic?
I think the big one is that what you started out with, which is we always want more, but we sometimes forget to focus on what we have. And I've talked to so many people endlessly. I've done this myself in the past. You start building a list because everybody knows they should. They start like their show, they start building a list and they have 62 people on it and they want to know how to get more. And the question always is, well, John, how do I get more people? It's like, well, what was the last thing you sent those people? And it's usually nothing besides the welcome email that just say, hey, you signed up, thanks. That's it, because they don't feel that they have enough people. And you really have to, for the mindset shift, you really have to realize that these are actual people, human beings like yourself, that decided with all of the options to put your email into so many crappy like incentive boxes on different websites around, that you chose only a couple to do it with. And with those ones, you're not doing it because you expect that 500 other people did it, or 1,000 other people, or 10,000 other people. You just did it because you wanted the connection to that person that you wanted that connection with. And so it shouldn't matter that even if you are the only person on that list, that they should be taking as much care with you and reaching out to you and helping you as much, educating you, entertaining you, all that stuff, as if there was thousands of people. And I think that's really, really, really important. It's the whole like audience of one. And this is literally your one person now. If you don't take care of that one person, I honestly don't think that you can get to 100 subscribers and 1,000 subscribers. So it's just really, really important. And also, if you all of a sudden somebody gave you access to 10,000 like highly focused people on an email list and told you to write your very first email ever to some, to all of them, you'd probably freak out. So to me, it works out even both ways, is the fact that you get to kind of just like hone your skills as there's not very many people. As you're building this list, you can just write things and see how they work, see how people respond, try different styles, different formats, different, like talk in different sort of voices and see like how personal they want it, how professional they want it. And these people will give you feedback. It's a great time rather than when you have 1,000 and now let's try figuring this stuff out. So I just really wanted to hammer that part home, that those people are absolutely important. 67 people in a room wanting to listen to you is a good size room packed with people. So please do not ignore them. Please do not just focus on getting more, but engage those people fully. Now let's learn how to get more.
Did you just defend humanity there? I think you did.
I defended that one lady who decided to give you her name and email today. I defended her because people even just kind of get a bit nervous and stuff sometimes. Like, oh, like, am I going to end up on a whole bunch of other lists? Is this going to get sold? Is this going to, you know what I mean? And yeah. They've trusted you. That's trust. And the other part of the trust is that you've told them you're going to give them something. And so you have to also do that. It's kind of like a contract. They've signed off at the beginning, and then you just ignore them for 2 months until you can somehow get 100 other people to sign that contract. That person, that first person, doesn't know that, and they're disengaged all of a sudden. They don't even remember who you are in 2 months when you decide to email them, and then the relationship's ruined. So I guess that's defending humanity, at least that one person, that one human.
Dolores. We're going to call her Dolores.
Yeah, Dolores. She really wants to hear from you.
She does. And I love what you said about using the early time as practice, because so often we have a hypothesis for what our audience wants and for what's going to work. And typically that'll be 80%, 85%, right? I mean, there's, you know, hopefully we've done a little bit of homework. We know our audience, but there are always going to be those little extras, those tweaks, those little surprises that we can't quite realize in the beginning, that you only get by putting out content, having it interact with your audience. And that's the only way that you can really learn those. And the quicker that you learn those, the better. And I don't think there's a shortcut beyond just putting out content consistently and gauging the feedback of the audience. And you're so right that you'd rather do that while you're growing the list, so that when you do have the bigger room, your message is much more honed. So great point. So let's talk about incentives now, because obviously to get people to join, there have to be incentives to join. And when we talk about this in the context of a podcast, you know, the most obvious value to deliver folks is email updates of new episodes, right? That's kind of the obvious one. Some people will subscribe to that to get the updates in your inbox. I don't really consider that a huge incentive to join an email list for a podcast, because frankly, I don't count on email to give me alerts of new podcast episodes. Typically, I just go into my podcast player and see what's there. So there's got to be something extra. So like with the Showrunner, for example, our incentive to join is the autoresponder series about the four essential elements of a remarkable podcast, which you can get if you go to showrunner.fm. For the Assembly Call, what I've used as the incentive is our post-game analysis email, which could be a really good blog post. We do it only to email subscribers. And that was a strategic decision, understanding our spot in the market, where there are many other blogs out there that have kind of cornered the market on blog content and freely available public content. We weren't going to win that battle. What there wasn't was a big email newsletter. And so that was kind of the niche that we fit in, is if we can really come out with a valuable email newsletter, we can start gaining subscribers, and this can kind of be our niche, and it can be the way that we build a nice, powerful audience when there are already some out there, and we're the little guy, and we're never going to have the resources to do it. And so this analysis email for post-game shows we started sending it out the day after, and we don't make it publicly available at all. You have to get on the email list. And it has been a huge incentive for us to get people to join. And again, it was a tough decision because you think, man, we could post this publicly, you know, be able to share it publicly, and certainly there would be some audience gain there. But I think ultimately in the long run, building a really engaged email list, which we've done, choosing that incentive and making it email only has really, really worked for us. And I think it's important when you think about building an email list for a show that A, it's got to be about more than just your show updates, and B, it's got to be so valuable, I think, to the point where it's almost uncomfortable for you to not put it out on the blog because you kind of fear what you might be missing out on in that kind of free public attention. What do you think about in terms of incentives?
You also didn't you just do like a members area?
We did. We just started that. That's new this season.
Which is like an amazing way to build an email list.
Yes.
That's basically, it's free, but it's not free. I mean, because they have to give you their email, a good email, so they can get access to. And that's brilliant.
And I will say that's kind of next level, because I think we've now been building our list for a year and a half. And so we have what I would call mature subscribers that have been with us for a while. They know the post-game email. They still get that. But now to go to the next level, we wanted to give people something extra. And that's, we have a free content library with the 50 greatest Hoosiers. We've made our post-game chat subscriber only. So it's basically the way for our closest audience members to self-select and say, hey, I want more. I want to go to this next level that you're giving people. And so again, this is all stuff that could be free, but we've chosen to put it behind the membership wall. And I think as you grow, you know, as we look long-term with building your email list, you do want it to grow and evolve, because it can get stale if it just stays as the same thing. And so each season we're trying to add a little bit more, so that, again, we're kind of leading our audience on a journey where they're constantly getting more from us and being surprised by what we're delivering. And it gives them more and more chances to say, yeah, I'll take the next step with you, sure. And we're starting to see that come out in people using our affiliate links and donating and supporting the shows in other ways. And I think a big part of that is because we're, again, kind of leading people by the hand almost to say, you know, come in closer with us. You know, we have more stuff for you. Follow along.
Yeah. And that's great. And so that's obviously going to be different for every show.
Yes.
Yours, like the, I don't know what would it be like, the life sort of cycle of like your listener is going to be different for every show, meaning that somebody who discovers Hack the Entrepreneur, and I've learned this now over the past like 14 months, that people who listened to my show, 95% of people, 90% maybe, of people who listened to my show last November and listened to all the shows that I had up till that point fell off at some point. It's just too much, and they just kind of move on. People move on to other shows. That's just how it is. So unless you can get them onto an email list, and I have lots of people on my email list who still open every single email and respond to them, but don't listen to most of my shows anymore. But it was the way that I grabbed them, right? That was it. They're just one thing. They might not listen to 10 podcasts a week kind of thing. Just at one point, they found my content via some way they wanted to find my content, and it brought them into me, and now they're part of my audience, which is amazing for other stuff that I do.
And they hang around a lot to get your weekly newsletter, I would assume.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's one thing. But then I've had the problem where my newsletter hasn't evolved in any way, or at least not to me it hasn't. And I don't think so. People are still opening it. And the people who started opening it a year ago, literally, people who open it every week just continue to open it every week. That's just how it is. And reply to it. And it's amazing. But now there's like this cycle where they got to kind of go further, right? So that's where the book comes from and such. But I know that I've lost a lot of people because I never incentivized the list until 2.5 weeks ago now is when I finally started. Meaning that I get like hundreds and hundreds of people come to my site every day now, and there was hardly anybody joining the email list because there was no incentive. And so I was like, well, I got to grab some of those people because I know that they're going to be there once, maybe twice from the show, and then it gets lost. They just kind of move on to the next thing. That's just how humans work, right? Mm-hmm. So I have created some very, 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 very simple and basic incentives, which I'm only saying it that way is so that when you're out there listening, you don't think that I had like this team of designers and like content crafters. I literally didn't. I went on Canva one night. I was actually in a hotel room 2.5 weeks ago and I couldn't sleep. Everybody else was asleep. And so it's like 12:30 at night. There I am just at my laptop, my headphones on, put some tunes on. Yeah. And I literally I'm going to do it. I'm going to create my first incentive. So I did a top 10 hacks and it's literally like a PDF it came out as, but I went to canva.com. It's completely free. I pulled from transcripts the hack from each of these people, kind of shortened them so they would fit, picked a Canva that looked good for, I think it was a slideshow one or something. Mm-hmm. And I just went through and it took me like 40 minutes. And that was, I'm like, good enough. Put into PDF, upload it to the site, set up a little opt-in for it. And it works. More and more people sign up to my list now. And then I've actually gotten to, I went a bit further about a week after that. And so the show notes, which I've shared with people within the course, my interview sheet that I use, the PDF that I created,
yeah,
that I fill out totally. I had gotten some emails and some tweets from people like, could they get a copy of one of them? Just randomly, like this one, I would really love to see what you wrote. I'm like, that's weird. It's like, you haven't seen my writing, that's for sure. Because it's just gibberish for me, right? So with enough of those requests, actually on one show, I said, if anyone is ever like interested in these, just like email me, tweet me something, just let me know. And I'm going to figure out a way to get these to you. And so I got some responses and I was like, that's pretty cool. So now I literally take a picture with my phone of my show interview sheet, and I post it with the show notes, like with a button, and you have to click the button, pop up appears, and give me your email address, and you get the thing emailed to you right away. If they're already on my email list, it just goes straight to them, and they don't get added to the list again. But otherwise they just get put onto my regular weekly newsletter, and I've gone from like getting 2 to 5 people signing up to my email list a day to 15 to 20 people a wow. day in like 2 weeks. Yeah. And my goal is 25. That was my goal like 2.5 weeks. I'm going to get 25 people a day. So I still need to figure out some more things, but I'm putting together right now like a resources for entrepreneurs. I just literally like went to the second most visited page on my site is my resources, like tools I use page. So I'm just going to put it together in a PDF, add a bunch more of just free cool tools that I use all the time. In my Facebook group, my Insiders Facebook group, I just ask people for ideas of resources. So they came up with a ton of other great resources that they use every day. And I know that as people, it's my second most visited page. So right at the top, if I can offer a PDF of the 30 top free ones right here, people are just going to, I know they're going to download it like crazy and get added to my list. So it's really just, it's getting over, this goes back to a few episodes ago, the whole getting over the repurposing of content and thinking that just because something I guess beyond that is just undervaluing what you have, what you have that you think, why would somebody else ever want this? Why would somebody else ever? And actually, Johnny B. Truant, who used to write for Copyblogger and writes full time now, he used to, I remember him writing some posts because he had some like long and some sort of not even that long blog posts, just ones that got super, super popular. And he took his most popular ones and he literally put them into Kindle format, posted them onto Amazon as paid, like $1 or $2 or $3 each. And he even said, I believe on Amazon, you can read these for free on my site. He said he just wanted to put that there and people still bought them like all the time. And it was just like, amazing. Totally like, yeah, he was just, people want to consume it how they want to consume it. Right. So even to go back, Jared, how you said, like, take your best blog post and put it, but you can almost, I think, experiment with actually putting it live for SEO purposes, plus also right at the top or at the bottom, put, do you want this in a PDF with like one other thing, with a cover sheet and like the assembly call logo or something?
Yeah.
Like people, because to you it seems, or to me it seems ridiculous actually, what I just said, but it's, you know what I mean? It's like my chicken scratch interview sheet. to me is completely like, why would you want this? But it's, I mean, I've just actually logged in right now and 11 people have downloaded yesterday's episodes already, which is great, right? It's been out for 24 hours and 11 people have wanted to look at the chicken scratch that I wrote during it, which I'm trying to make them less chicken scratch now that I know people are going to be reading these. But it's interesting, right? And so you can do both with things you can, they can be public as well as behind an email incentive. Some people just love the PDF version or a Kindle version or of anything. And it's not hard. It's almost, well, it's free to make anything into a Kindle version or a PDF version. So there's interesting ways you can play with stuff and just test it, right? Like just if you have like three blog posts that are all connected in like a series, just put them all together at the top with a button of each one. Just like, do you want all three together in a PDF? Straight to your inbox. Yeah. I bet you people will say yes.
Well, and the other thing you can do is you create all this stuff is just create a little content library that's freely accessible, but it puts it all together in one place. So it's very convenient for people to get. And that's a way to start building a membership, which can be the next step from your email list.
Exactly. Exactly. And so that's eventually what I would do once I have enough of all this stuff. But to me, which I think I'm like a lot of people, is all of a sudden putting like a membership, like a library area is like, whoa, that's a daunting task, right? It just feels like it. And you got to create all this stuff at once. So to me, again, just being lazy repurposer is like, well, if I create like 15 opt-in incentives and put them all over my site, see which ones work the best. And then I'll take 10 of those and I'll put them, those exact 10 and put them behind a paywall. Like, I mean, email things like MailChimp and stuff, they know now that, I mean, if I go back and put in my email for something else on my site, it doesn't add me to the list again. It just gives it straight to my inbox. It just says, thanks, gives me the regular email. So it's not like there's this confusion and like, oh, the person's going to be on my list like 8 times. It's like, no, it's technology. It figures it out. It knows it's there and it gives them what they wanted and it says thanks to them and they're happy and they're already on your list.
Hey, by the way, you're no longer defender of humanity. You're now lazy repurposer, John Master.
Well, this is just something that I'm so learning. I mean, even with my book, and then the more people I talk to, I realize that this is how the people that I've admired and what they do, this is the stuff that they've been doing. And this is the stuff that I'm just realizing now that you can and should do because you only have so much time. You only have so much resources and you're already creating such excellent stuff. Why try and create just more of excellent stuff? Because that's really hard to do when you can just spread it out and make it more valuable to more people.
Yep. Okay, so we've got our incentives, right? We have a compelling offer. Now the next step is you've got to let people know about what you have, and you have to be bold about doing it. Now there's a fine line between bold and annoying, and we're going to get to that in a second. But if you don't ask, if you don't proudly let people know why they should be subscribing to you, what value they will get, they're not going to. And so, and this took me a little while to get over. I was very bashful about asking for email addresses and for subscribers early on. And I've gotten over it as I've seen, well, number one, as you start to trust the value and you really start to learn, like you were saying, you know, a lot of times we underestimate the value of what we're giving. We wonder, why would anybody want this? And as you see people get value out of it and explain that to you, one great thing to do is ask people for testimonials. You know, I know last year a big breakthrough that we made building our assembly call list is I sent out an email to the list that we had, and this is back when it was just a few hundred, and asked for testimonials. And I got so many responses. I was not expecting it at all. I was hoping for one or two. Got 10 or 15 of them. And it blew me away, and it really helped give me more confidence that what we were doing was valuable to folks. And of course, using those testimonials on our subscribe page was huge because it let people know that other people were getting this value out of it. And so here are some tips now. You've got your incentive, you've got your offer. Now, how do you actually get people to sign up? So that's one, is testimonials from people who are already getting value out of what you're doing. And even letting people know general numbers, because there are strength in numbers. People don't necessarily want to be the first the first person to join a group, but they like to kind of enter a club where other people are there. And as soon as I started like now, if you go to assemblycall.com, you'll see join the, 1300 plus IU fans who receive our regular newsletters, right? And it kind of gets, it puts that number on it and people see a little bit of specificity. They see that other people are there. That helps. The other two are urgency and scarcity. And we hear those a lot. Now, how do you do that in the context of getting email subscribers? Well, for urgency, what's in it for them to sign up today, right? Assembly call, get our next post-game email, right? Because that, especially during the season, because there's a new post-game email every 3 or 4 days. Johnny, for you, it's if they want to get the interview notes. Well, if they're listening to the episode right now, get the interview notes for this episode, because those notes aren't necessarily going to be relevant, once they're listening to episodes 2 or 3 down the line. And so there's an urgency there to do it right now while it's relevant, or because they're going to miss out on something if they don't, which is the next one, which is scarcity, right? What will they not get if they don't sign up? So if you don't sign up today for the Assembly Call newsletter, you won't get our next post-game email, right? Or and there are tons and tons of ways to use the scarcity. It's basically, the fear of missing out. People don't want to miss out on something valuable. And I'm not saying this to say that you use it to manipulate people. You're just very clear with what they will get and what they won't get if they don't sign up. And so you use that urgency, you use that scarcity, you provide those strength in numbers and testimonials, which it just reduces the friction and the fear really from people signing up, because they understand that other people are getting value from this. They understand that they will miss out on something valuable if they don't. And that helps get people over the edge when they're thinking, do I want to put my email in here? Is it worth the time right now? Is it worth getting something else in my inbox? And I'll tell you one other thing here that has helped is underneath all of our subscription forms on the Assembly Call, as I'm always very clear that, hey, we respect your email address and your inbox. We're never going to sell it to anybody. And we're only going to email you when we have something worthwhile to say, which I think has helped people just think, okay, this is kind of a random sports email. Do I really want to get this? Okay. They're going to respect my email address. They're going to respect my time. And I think that has helped. So all of those, putting all of those elements together in the way that they work for you and your show and your understanding of your audience, because I know that our audience, a decent portion of it tends not to be really sophisticated about online stuff and subscribing and downloading apps and all of that stuff. And so that message, I think, is important to them and helpful to them. And knowing your audience will really help you know which of these elements will help you ask for the subscription in the right way that will compel people to take your call to action.
And so with strength in numbers, you have 1300 plus Assembly Call. And so I'm listening to this show and I'm thinking, right, but like Johnny said at the beginning, I only have 67 people on my list.
Mm-hmm. So you may and when you're at that number, you may not want to use the number. But that's where if you can get a couple of testimonials, where someone says, hey, I get great value out of this. I open Johnny's email every single day. Maybe instead of the number, you use a testimonial so they see that someone else like them is getting value out of it. And then when the number reaches a point where you're comfortable, I didn't start doing the number until it was 1,000 plus. And then, the number with the comma, it just seemed more impressive to me. And it's, it's helped. I mean, I've seen a little bit of an uptick since we started doing that.
I would love to have someone, and if you do this and you test this for me, I would love to hear what results you have, but I would love to see join 67 other people on this amazing list. I think you never know. It's a real number, right? And it's one of those things where join 10,000 other people. And it's like, well, is that real? Like there's exactly 10,000 people on this list, or is there 67 people?
Well, it's going to depend on how you phrase it.
If
you say join 67 people, say 67 people are already on this list getting value every single week. Make it exciting. Transfer your enthusiasm to other people. And if you're enthusiastic about the 67 people, you can get other people enthusiastic. If you're ashamed of it, which you shouldn't be, that's great that you have 67 people. If you communicate that to your audience that hasn't subscribed yet, you'll find those other like-minded people.
Exactly. This is, I guess I was just going back to the whole fact of don't wait to do stuff with this list until it's at 1,000 people. Do it when you have 67. You can do this. You can use all of these and just use, like, put the excitement behind it, because it is. It's 67 people. That's a giant room full of people. Well, it's not a giant room full of people. It's a small room packed with people wanting to hear from you. So definitely, definitely use that. Like, there's nothing, there's no harm. Put it up there for a week and see what happens. Maybe it helps, maybe it doesn't, but that's what testing is.
Yep.
And the internet makes it easy. So,
and I will say too, you know, what goes right along with this is that you have to be consistent in requesting. So you can't just request for a week and expect to get big results. You know, a lot of times people may have to see it 5, 6, 7, 10 times before they actually say, you know what? Yeah, I will subscribe to this. And so having it in consistent, prominent spots on your website is important. Doing it in prominent spots on your show is important. And I think also, you know, using social media strategically is important. You know, with the Assembly Call, for example, we really focus on Twitter. We don't do a whole lot on Facebook or the other ones. You know, just it's been a time thing and we haven't seen the engagement there yet. Eventually, maybe we will. But something else that really helped in the off season was just scheduling one tweet per day at different times per day. And actually, I think we did it every other day at different times with 6 or 7 different call to actions. Hey, have you joined the 1,300 people yet on the IU Hoops newsletter? Join us now. Do you get our renowned post-game analysis emails? Join for free now. And also use the name, use the word free in there for the subscription, because people, that's a big, you know, word that sends positive bells off in people's mind. But that's the thing, is be consistent with what you're doing, because understand that the first time people see it, they're probably not going to subscribe. But the fifth time or the seventh time or the tenth time, they may. But you have to have that messaging out there so that they're seeing that.
It's funny you say that. I got an email. I got an email yesterday from my Sunday newsletter, and the lady said that she's been listening to my show for 109 episodes or something, she said. And she's like, I'm so sorry. I mean, you say it every episode, but I never got around to actually joining your newsletter, and I'm so happy that I did.
Oh, Dolores.
Yeah, I was like, wow, 109 in, you're like, oh yeah, Hack the Entrepreneur, I got to sign that newsletter.
And you know what? She's probably going to be a great subscriber now, too. You know,
totally. Like, I mean, exactly.
But you, and again,
but that's consistency and just doing it over and just that's all you can do.
Man, the consistency is key. It's really, really key. So, okay, and here's something else too, which is leverage your big moments. And a big moment can be a link from another site, or maybe you've guest blogged, or you've been a podcast guest on another big show and they're sending attention your way, right? Make sure that, understand whatever journey new listeners are going to follow to get to you, and make sure that they subscribe, right? Make sure on your next episode, maybe you welcome, hey, I know we have a lot of new audience members, you know, who caught us over on such and such show. Thank you so much for giving us a listen. If this is your first time, understand that you can go to ...... and get our best stuff. If you want a great email call to action, by the way, The Art of Charm does a great job with their calls to action of getting people, giving people reasons to subscribe. Basically, you know, they give you their best stuff, and it's, listen to that show for a good call to action. Just a random thought there. But leveraging the big moments, whenever you get a lot of attention, I know for us with the Assembly Call, you know, we've had a relatively small growing audience, and we'll get a retweet from one of the big sites that has 25,000 followers. We'll get a flood of new visitors. I always make sure to let people know, hey, if you want to connect with the show, get updates on the show, get our post-game analysis email, go subscribe right now. You know, don't really, you know, those moments, a lot of times we may be able to predict some of them, not all of them. That is not the time to be bashful. That is a time to really let people know, so that if they do like you and they want to take the next step, they know how. And again, you don't want to be annoying about it. You've got to figure out a way to do it quickly so it's not taking you a minute to give your pitch. So practice that and understand, when those moments come, how can you give a good, clean, compelling pitch in about 15 seconds so it doesn't disrupt everybody else's experience, but it still makes that the offer clear in terms of the call to action and what people should do.
Yeah, smart.
So let me ask you this question, John, and this will be the last topic in this show. How could we talk about this for so long? I love this topic.
I do. Me too.
To pop up or not to pop up? That is the question. What is your... I have my answer, but what is your answer?
My answer is an ever-evolving thing. I never had a pop-up ever until, again, 2.5 weeks ago, that Top 10 Hacks goes out. You can click on the navigation menu and get it, or you can get a pop-up after 10 seconds or 15 seconds, and the pop-up works really well.
Boy, it sure
does. It actually, although it's weird, it actually works way better on mobile for me. The conversion rates on mobile, it's the exact same opt-in, like the same words, but it works like amazingly on mobile. Yeah.
Now, what are you using for the mobile? Because I remember you've told me a couple times that on one of my sites with the mobile, the pop-up didn't work very well.
You use SumoMe. It's kind of a weird one. Opt-in Monster. Mm. It used to be a plugin for WordPress, but now it's like a SaaS sort of product, like software as a service.
Yeah.
So you pay monthly and it integrates with Rainmaker or WordPress or anything, Squarespace. And just put some code into the page, bottom of the page or of the site somehow. I don't know. Somebody else did it for me actually.
Yeah.
And now I just create pop-ups and like design them. There's a whole bunch of templated ones and, I use it for the links too. So that's nice. Just how, like, if I can like have just like click this link to get the show notes and it goes to a pop-up and they sign up and and it shows me conversion rates. So, I mean, looking right now, my regular pop-up is giving me 2.87% conversion rate. Here I go. It's just telling all my numbers again. And the Top 10 Hacks mobile is getting 6.02% conversion.
Nice.
Exact same words. Yeah, exactly the same. That one's only for mobile visitors. They get almost the same amount of traffic, actually. Like almost half my traffic, just under, it's like 47% or something of my traffic is mobile. But that's interesting. It's really interesting. People, I think, are just more... I don't know. I guess because, well, one thing, it takes up your whole screen when you're on mobile, right? So it's really there. And it's just a small pop-up in the middle when you're on your desktop, right? And you probably people have 20 different windows open. And so they're more distracted, I guess. And I don't think you jump around as much on a mobile device. Like, like a pop-up, something you just don't want to see, just zoom out, go somewhere else. You know what I mean? It's just, there's you all over the place and like, oh, to Skype, to Slack, to this, like, oh.
Yeah.
But on a phone, you're just kind of like trying to read something. You're trying to be like, you're interested in what you're on typically. So.
Yeah, I was against them for a while, but you know, I kind of realized that as a user, they stopped annoying me so much, and I decided to give them a try. And I tell you what, we saw such a huge uptick in conversions with pop-ups, and that's to be expected. I think everybody knows that you'll get that. What I was really afraid of, there were two things I was afraid of. Number one, that they were not going to be quality subscriptions, and there was going to be a lot of churn. And number two, that it was going to annoy people. Well, number one has not happened. And I think if your offer is really in line with your audience and then you deliver on that offer, you're going to keep your list and you're not going to have that much churn. And I mean, we've seen almost like it's ridiculous. It's like a 98% retention rate with our subscriptions on the Assembly Call, which is fantastic. And those numbers have skyrocketed since we started using the pop-ups. You know, in terms of annoying people, the only time people have let me know is like when the pop-up will come on the thank you page right after they subscribed, you know? So you want to make sure that you have your settings right and that you're not putting it on, you know, member pages or that it's coming up too often. I try to use some sort of scroll indicator so that it doesn't pop up right when people come to the page. But if they've scrolled 25% or if they've, SumoMe actually has one where they, you know, kind of use their own, you know, whatever algorithm or methodology to figure out if someone's engaged on the page to show it. So it's not necessarily a scroll percentage, but I like to put it to where someone's done something on the page to show a little bit of interest. And then the pop-up comes up instead of their first thing. Cause I think, and the reason I did that is because what annoys me is when I go to a site and the first thing is a pop-up and haven't even had a chance to see what I was looking for. You know, but if I've gone a little bit and I'm engaged and then the pop-up comes up, I'm much more receptive to it. So that's why I did that. And again, the only time people have complained about it is when it's come up on a page that it shouldn't. And that would annoy me too. So typically these pop-ups will have settings that'll help you do that. And Rainmaker, actually in Rainmaker Labs right now, there is a new pop-up feature that'll be part of the fully, you know, it'll be fully integrated into Rainmaker soon. And SumoMe is integrated into Rainmaker as well. So there's a lot of ways to do that in there.
Yeah, they all have settings so that you can, it's true. I would really suggest not making it so it pops up immediately because it's annoying and because people are generally just, it's a way to get deeper into you and your brand and your content. So they haven't even scratched the surface typically as soon as they've landed. But even 10 seconds in or 15 or 25% of the page, showing some level of engagement and then the right offer, that it works.
Yep.
And I think that they're so sort of ubiquitous now that it doesn't really annoy people, as in they kind of almost expect it. They just don't expect it right the second they land, and they don't expect it for something that doesn't make any sense to them. If you can get rid of both those things, I think you're golden. And from there, just start testing, and you'll find that it does work. So
this was fun. I like this topic. Hey, you listening, if you have further questions about email or a further angle or maybe even something that we talked about today that you'd like us to turn into a whole episode so we can go into more depth, let us know. Because we're always, I mean, email is such an important part of building an audience, engaging with your audience, and eventually turning this show that you're running into some kind of business. This is where it starts. And so this is so important. So let us know, because we'd like to do more episodes about this. But we'd also like to tailor them to what you want to listen to. And so let us know, and we can dive into some of these individual topics a little bit more. I've got a quick podcast recommendation, Johnny. You want to hop to that?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's do it. Well, my recommendation for today is, well, I was going to say the latest episode of Startup, but by the time this episode comes out, it might not be the latest episode of Startup anymore. But I believe it's called The Secret Formula. It's this new, like, little mini season that they're doing where they're basically, again, kind of turning the microphones back on themselves and showing you some of the inner workings of Gimlet. And what I really like about this recent episode, and we'll link it up in the show notes if you go to showrunner.fm, find episode number 34, what I really like about this one is they really get into how they develop new shows, the thought process, and then their editing process. And it's really interesting because Alex basically plays about a 3-minute cut of the first edit of a show. And then you kind of get to hear what it sounds like afterwards and what they did to it, what they didn't like about it. And it's really, really interesting to hear their process, hear their mindset. And so I really recommend it. I know that not, certainly we aren't, and a lot of our audience are not putting together these highly produced narrative podcasts. But I mean, Alex, when it comes to how to tell stories through audio, there's few people better than Alex Bloomberg and the team at Gimlet. And so I think you can still pick up some pointers that will help you create remarkable experiences for your audience by what they do, even if some of the specific tactics don't apply. And so highly recommend this episode. It's very, very good. We will link to it in the show notes, but it's gimletmedia.com/episode/16. The Secret Formula is where you can find it.
Wow. You had that. Nice.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Very cool. I will listen. Yes. I will take your recommendation and I will run with it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
No, actually, I won't run. I'll walk. I'll walk my dog with it.
Excellent. That sounds like a plan.
It sounded really ambitious for a second. I was like, I'm not going to run.
That sounds like a plan. Well, it would certainly be ironic if we did not end this episode with a call to action to our email list. So we will do that. And I will say, if you have been listening to the Showrunner for a while, and if you have not subscribed to the email list yet, the reason to do so is to get that autoresponder content series. It's the essential elements of a remarkable podcast. It really lays out what we feel like are the essential elements of building something remarkable for your audience: authenticity, usefulness, sustainability, and profitability. What do we mean by that? Why are they important? What are the fundamentals of each? When you subscribe at showrunner.fm, all you have to do is put in your email address. It's real simple. You'll get all of that, and I think it'll really help you understand where we're coming from and put each episode into the proper context. So go to showrunner.fm, get on the email list, and you will benefit greatly. Oh, join the 1,300 plus people who are on the Showrunner email list.
Join the 67 people, 67 yeah, others on the Showrunner email list, and yes, we'll see you on the inside.
Yes, we will. Next week on another brand new episode of the Showrunner. I don't know why I like ending the shows like that.
It's a good ending.
It didn't really make sense there, but.
Why? It was a great ending. I fully endorse it.
I
prefer these live. I prefer these live shows rather than the ones where we just kind of.
I know. I just like hitting record as soon as we start talking. That's fun.
It is fun. And you're back in the closet right where you like.
And on that note, thanks for listening, Dolores. Talk to you later. Awesome.
And on that note.
Yes.
Oh.